This is Alicia, and welcome to the College Life Podcast.
I am super passionate about education, personal development, growth, and bringing out the best in every college student. This podcast will help motivate you, empower you, and bring you clarity and confidence in who you are, in your purpose, and help you take action toward a life you love. Don't wait until you graduate to live your best life. Let's start now. Welcome to the College Life Podcast. It's Alicia here, and today I'm going to be talking with a current college student, Darby. In this episode, we talk about transferring colleges and not transferring from a community college to a four-year school. Which actually, if anybody's out there who's listening and wants to share their story on that, I would love to interview you. But we talk about what it's like to actually transfer colleges. And this is not an episode to tell you to transfer. It's also not an episode to tell you to stay. This is an episode to really get you to critically think about your experience at your current college or the college maybe that you're about to go into. And I just want to give you the permission that if you try to make it work and it just doesn't, that it's okay to transfer. And so you're going to hear Darby's story, and I'm really excited for her to share it. She is amazing, and we've been able to connect a lot over the past couple years, and I'm just really excited for her to share her story. So we're going to go ahead and jump right in.
Welcome to the College Life Podcast. It's Alicia here, and today I have on Darby. She is a current college student and you just finished your sophomore year, going into your junior year, and I'm super excited to have her on the podcast. We are going to be hearing her story, and a lot of it is going to revolve around transferring colleges, and this is a topic that isn't talked about very often, so we're really excited to dive in. I actually met Darby at another college that I was working at, and then I ended up getting a job at the same place that she transferred. So we've been really staying connected. So it's just been really cool to kind of see her progress through your college journey. And so I'm really excited to hear your story. So welcome, Darby.
Thanks.
Yeah.
So can you first get started by telling us a little bit about just your journey to college? What was the application process like for you in choosing a college?
Yeah. So my junior year, I wasn't really sure if I would even go to college. Like, I thought about maybe community college because I didn't have good grades. And so I really wasn't sure if college was a good fit for me. Like, I didn't have a lot of confidence that, like, I would get into college or anything like that. And so my senior year, I kind of kicked myself into gear and was like, if I want to do well, I need to get into college. I need to get better grades. And so I worked really hard my senior year, and I applied to four different colleges. Three of them were pretty small. Well, not super small, but, and then one of them was a larger state school. The three smaller ones were like 10 to 15,000. And then the larger one was like 35, I think. I got into all four of them. And
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Right? That felt
it was
good.
Like, it was really surprising, especially like the larger one. I didn't think that it was kind of like, I'll just apply to this school because everybody else applies there. And like, if I don't get in anywhere else, I might get in there. And then, you know, so I toured every school, and I actually, when I started, I really had my heart set on one, and like toured it, and it just felt like not the best fit. Like, I wanted it to be a good fit, but it just wasn't. And then I went to the school that I ultimately ended up choosing, and was just like, my parents told me after we toured the last school, they were like, we think we know which one you're going to choose because we could tell like at the tour when you were there, you know. So I ended up choosing a smaller, well, obviously one of the smaller schools, and it was in a like kind of farm town, and I thought that would be a good fit because like part of my family is like farm, you know, southern, and so I thought it would be a good mix of like being in the mountains and being in like kind of a farm small town.
So when you transitioned to college, what was your major? What were you thinking about you wanted to do long term?
Yeah, I actually went in undeclared, so I didn't have a major. I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do, and I think that's something that is really like I think it's really frowned upon to be undeclared. Like, people always think, like, oh, what are you studying? Like, I remember this question so many times during my senior year of high school. What are you studying? And I said, oh, I don't know yet. And they're like, oh, you'll figure it out. And I'm like, I'm 18 years old. Like, you really expect me to just, like, with no college experience, nothing, just know exactly what I'm going to do with my life? Like, no. So I went in undeclared. And what else did you want?
Well, I think, where are you at now, I guess, with when it comes to major?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So right now I'm a history major. I want to teach. And I want to teach high school. So I have a history major, education minor. And my plan right now is I'll probably go get my master's in education after I'm done. I was kind of deciding between, like, sports medicine, that kind of area, or teaching. And ultimately, like, with sports medicine, I probably would have done physical therapy. And with that, a lot of the times you can only do it for like 10 or 15 years before your body gives out on you. And I was like, well, I don't want to do something that I can only do for 15 years, you know, when I'm paying so much to get a degree in it. And then my other option was teaching, like, that would have been the science-y route, would have been teaching high school science, but I just, I'm not a fan of the way that they teach high school science. So then I kind of, I think actually maybe you showed me the website. It's like, what can I do with this major? Yeah, was it you?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Probably. And so it, you go on and it's like every single major that most universities offer. And you can just go through and click on majors or like, here's what I want to do. Here's what I'm thinking about. And I really wanted something that was versatile rather than, so like I kind of had settled on teaching, but I knew I didn't want to get an education degree because I didn't want to be stuck in teaching if I decided I wanted to do something else. So if I thought about, like, okay, teaching high school, I don't want to teach science, what would be my other area? And history came up. And then everybody was like, oh, that's such a good fit for you. That's awesome. Why didn't we think of this before?
Like, and it's, you're funny. Like, yeah, why didn't you think of this before?
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny because I actually took a quiz, like one of those weird BuzzFeed quizzes, like before I even started college. And it was like, what should your major be? History. And I think I found that after I had figured out, okay, this is what I want to study. I like had a screenshot of it in my phone and I was like, that's such a weird coincidence.
That's cool.
Like, so yeah, that's kind of how I settled on it. I didn't declare the education minor until this past semester just because I wasn't sure if it would actually fit in, if I'd be able to graduate on time with it. So, but it works out. So yeah.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
So you, I want to kind of go back. So you, I think this is so common with students when it comes to being undeclared.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting because, like, I think it's 75% of students change their major at least once. So the pressure that students feel when they come in is to pick something.
Yeah.
But then it's like, you're probably not going to stay that anyway.
Yeah.
So, and then, why do we feel that pressure? And, you know, or like, where does it come from, you know?
I think a lot of it comes from partially just like society.
Yeah.
Being like, you need to have your life together by the time you graduate high school.
Or like, you need to have your life together.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Period. Because I even feel that at my age, you know? Same thing.
Yeah. And so I think part of it is just society. I think a lot of it is colleges too. Because like, you have to get into this specific program or, and there's just a lot of pressure. And that was kind of weird for me when I was actually choosing a college because I didn't have a major to look for. Whereas, like, a lot of my friends, like, my best friend is a nursing major, and she was like, I can only look at schools that have great nursing programs. And so it was so weird to be like, I don't have a program that I'm interested in, you know?
Yeah.
That I'm, like, specific, you know, like, my parents really wanted me to go the physical therapy route. And so they were always, like, every school we toured, like, oh, how's the, like, sports medicine program here? Like, it was very funny.
And that happens so often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's a lot of it. And, you know, of course, like, in the dorms, there's the living communities or, like, even in high school, like, what's my best friend studying? Like, we want to go to the same college. Let's study the same thing.
Yeah.
That, I think that's really, really common. That's what I was like in high school until I really kind of came into my own shell. Like, my best friend was nursing and I was like, maybe I'll do EMT or something medically because my dad's a firefighter. So I've always grown up around that kind of stuff. I've always been interested in it. And so that's kind of where the physical therapy aspect came into it, was just anatomy and just working with people.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, so it sounds like you always wanted to work with people, but mm-hmm. you're not really sure, like, what does that even mean? What does it even look like besides things that you saw?
I always knew I wanted to help people. That was my thing.
Yeah.
That was, like, my, what do you want to do? I want to help people, you know? So whatever way that shape or form that came in, it's teaching. Or that's the plan right now.
And I love that because I think it's so good to have a plan, but you're also kind of open to different opportunities because, I mean, the college that you're on now has so many incredible opportunities that you're just probably still learning about, you know? And so I think that's such a valuable thing to take away from this podcast, actually, is to have some kind of plan, but be totally okay if it changes.
Yeah, exactly.
And be open to opportunities.
I think that's a really hard thing, like, for, we were talking about majors and just being undeclared. Like, one thing I think that some colleges screw up on is, and I see both sides of it, is like when freshmen come into college their first semester, like they're already taking like really specific classes for their major, and then what if they decide they want to change their major and those classes don't transfer over, you know? But like, I was also somebody who my first semester I took like a crazy weird variety of classes and I didn't have any commonality, like I didn't have common people in those classes, so it was really hard to make friends. So it's kind of like either or, you know, because my freshman year, first semester, I took a business class, a music class, a sports medicine class, and then regular freshman math, English. So I had a couple of those like normal classes, but I was just kind of all over the board. And I think the reason that colleges like push getting into your major classes is because I think a lot of people get to their first year of college and they're like, I'm just doing the same thing I did in high school. Like, this is U.S. history. I took this my sophomore year of high school. I already know what I'm doing. Why am I just repeating high school? You know? Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of people get burned out, but it's also hard to make classes that are general and specific at the same time, you know?
Yeah, that is really hard. And I think that's just a dilemma in higher education, too. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, it's for students to pick a major. And I think there are a couple schools who are going to where you don't pick a major at all. Like, nobody picks a major their first year. But then students feel like, well, I'm just wasting my time in all these classes that you kind of have to take anyway. But yeah, so it's so interesting. And then some people like love that because then they get to explore.
Yeah.
Or like they end up stumbling upon something that was way better. So it's just fascinating. Yeah, we have a long way to go to figure that out, I think. Mm-hmm. I think one thing I wanted to also touch on before we move on is you said that you didn't have good grades in high school. And you did that kind of make you feel like you weren't going to be like smart enough for college?
Absolutely. I think there was a lot of expectations that I put on myself. My sister and I are very different. But my sister was kind of the black sheep of the family growing up, and I think everybody kind of expected me to turn into her as I was growing up. So I think I placed those expectations on myself of, like, I'm not, you know, like I said, I'm not going to get into college, I'm not going to do well. And also, I just, growing up, I didn't, even in middle school, I just started off with bad study habits, bad school habits, bad time management. Like, I always had late assignments, and it just carried on because I never had anything. Like I said, I placed those expectations of myself in my head. Like, you're not going to do well anyway. So I never really tried to push myself and do well in high school.
Yeah.
So, and I also had, like, my best friend. I've already talked about her, like, three times, but she was, like, all AP classes, all honors, 4.0 GPA, and I was just like, there's no point in trying. But I totally, like, I mean, I kind of, like I said, I had to kick myself into gear my senior year because I was like, I need to go to college. I need to do something. But where my grades are at right now, I'm not going to be able to get into where I want to get into, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I used a website called CAPEX, C-A-P-P-E-X. And you put in, like, all of your information, your GPA, your grades, your ACT scores, SAT scores, and it will, like, all your extracurriculars, that kind of thing, and it'll place you in, like, your likelihood of getting into this college when you make your list of, like, these are my top five colleges. And so that was one thing that I really used to kind of kick myself into gear is, like, I don't have a good likelihood of getting into this school with my GPA the way it is. I think my GPA was like a 2.7. I don't remember. I feel like it was lower than that, but I don't know. It wasn't, it was always less than a 3.0. And my senior year, I think I didn't actually get my cumulative GPA up to a 3.0, but I did get my semester GPAs up to 3.0 or higher. I don't remember. Yeah. So.
Okay, so you get to college and you're undeclared and you're trying to figure out college life. So yeah. What was your freshman year like?
Part of it, I think, for me was I had a really weird roommate situation. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Share as much or as little as you'd like.
Yeah, we started off really close. We met up during the summer and we're just, we're going to be a perfect match. This is going to be great. And we started off really close and we kind of had a lot of mutual friends. And then she got a boyfriend and kind of just threw me to the wayside and didn't want to hang out with me, excluded me. I was just kind of left there. You know, I'm not going to go push her to like hang out with these other people that we have mutual connections with. So then I just kind of was left out. And so first semester, I've said this before, but I felt like I knew I wanted to transfer my first week. Like even the welcome week when they do all the like activities and stuff. Like I remember there was one day where I went in my room and took a nap because there was just no activity scheduled for that time. And I was like, this is the time that I'm supposed to be super busy, crazy tired because we don't want to be homesick, like busy out of our minds. And I also had a lot of friends at other schools that were just like, I don't know, kind of living what I wanted to, what I expected. So that was kind of where I saw my first, this is a little bit disappointing. I was working my freshman year, first semester I started like 2 weeks into school working and I worked on Saturdays, which most people know are football games. And so I didn't get to go to a lot of the football games, which sucked. But that school also, there wasn't a ton of school spirit there. So, yeah, and so I went to one of the football games, and it was just like, okay, this is drunk frat boys and alumni, and the stadium is half empty. And I didn't realize how big of a deal that was to me. Mm-hmm. And then I actually came to a football game at the institution that I'm at now, where we were playing against each other. So where I was and where we are now.
Yeah, interesting.
And it was just crazy to see and hear the difference of just like the size of the stadium, the amount of people that showed up, just, school spirit that people have. And so that was definitely a big thing that I hadn't really thought about in high school, you know? So working really kind of cut me off socially, which I mean, I needed to work, everybody needs money. But I definitely always suggest if you can get a job on campus, do it, because I was working off campus in a place that like is not very popular for, college kids to work, but especially not like my kind of. I was working in Ace Hardware, so
I remember this.
Not really the best option, but I was making money, but it cut me off. Like I didn't get to go to dinner with people at night, which is like in the first month, like that's where you make your friends, and so I think I kind of set myself up intentionally for some bits of failure just with that. Like I didn't do it intentionally,
right.
But just I cut myself off from some of those social situations that I think could have made me more successful in the social area. That school is also my first school was very Greek life focused, and that's like what I noticed was that is what a lot of people do that want to be social. You know, the people that, not like I'm a party animal or anything, but, you know, that's how you make a lot of friends is joining sororities and fraternities. And I just, that wasn't really my scene. And so I realized that was kind of, I don't know, I think I could have gone further socially if I had wanted to do that, but it just wasn't something that I was into.
And then it's also expensive, right? Yeah, so then you're already working a lot to try and cover some of the cost and like live. And then now you would have this extra expense, but then you would have less time to work, but then you'd have more money to spend.
It's like, all like weighing the costs and benefits. And I also went, home a lot. I mean, because everybody gets homesick their freshman year. So, but I just, I don't know. I feel like my first semester, I definitely didn't try as hard to get out of my sadness. I don't know if that's the right word, but it was, okay, I'm getting excluded. I'll just go home this weekend. And then second semester, I definitely pushed myself a little bit more to get out, and I got a different job and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I remember us talking about, you were thinking about transferring, right, at the end of your first semester, but you didn't.
Yeah.
So talk about that. Like, how did you make that decision?
So I've said this already, but I thought that my first university was going to be, like, a really good fit for me. It was, like, half and half farm town, half mountains. And I was so confident. Like I said, my family knew the day that we toured, they were like, this is going to be where she picks. Like, I was just so confident, and I think it was kind of hard for me to believe, like, why am I so unhappy here? Like, what is, am I doing something wrong? Is this just not a good fit for me? Like, what's the deal? And so I told myself, I said, you're going to stick it out for a whole year because you're so sure. And this is just like, if you give it up, if you transfer at the semester, like, one, it'll just make things more complicated because I didn't want to, like, try and find housing or get into the dorm second semester, that kind of thing. And I said, there will always be what ifs. If I, you know, what if I had stayed, would I have been happier? Like, especially if I, like, transferred and then I wasn't happy. And so it was, I made myself stay the whole year, and it was definitely hard, but I got accepted to the institution we're at now. And that was like, it was actually the first day of second semester. I, like, woke up on the first day of classes to my acceptance letter. So that just definitely gave me some hope. I applied to two different ones to transfer to, but I was pretty set on this one. And so I got that acceptance and was just like, I have hope. I have a light at the end of the tunnel. Like, I will push through.
I remember that second semester, we really tried to just say, okay, let's get, like, I really challenged you to just get out of your side of your comfort zone, like, whatever that looks like for you. And I think we talked about, like, okay, you're going to go try to meet this, like, make a friend this week, or, like, random stuff, right? Because it can be so hard. And at this time, too, I think your roommate was, like, pretty much out of the picture.
Yeah, she had dropped out at that point, so.
So, I think it's just so interesting looking back and how, like, unhappy you were, you know? And I think it's very telling that you were like, I'm going to try to stick with it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, for anybody who's listening right now, you want to think about that. You want to figure out, like, you want to give the place that you chose, especially if you thought it was a good fit, you want to give it time because it can be really hard to make friends. It can be really hard to find your fit. I know that for me personally, when I first got to Florida State, I absolutely hated it. Like, I cried a lot. I was like, Mom, I can't do this. And my mom was like, okay, you know, like, just try to stick it out. And, like, my mom didn't go to college, so she was just kind of like, just try. And I knew it was probably really hard for her. She probably was just like, come back home, you know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
She wanted me to come back home too because I was a little bit far away. But it can feel so shitty, for lack of a better word. And luckily, mine didn't last as long as yours, you know, like, that homesickness and stuff. But I think, I want to commend you because that is a strength of yours that you actually did try. What did you consider when you were trying to make the decision, or, like, when you applied and you got in, where you just kind of, like, got done?
So I was pretty sure that I wanted to transfer before second semester even ended, or first semester. You know, I was pretty sold on it. Like, if I get in, then this will be my move, because it just, I think I did a lot of, like, pros and cons lists of, like, what are the pros of staying here? What are the pros of this university? What are the pros of this one? Cons, 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 you know? And so I think for me, the straw that broke the camel's back was probably, like, my roommate situation. Just, like, she basically moved out of the dorm in November, and that was kind of the end, and I started, like, trying to set up tours for other schools. I had friends at both schools that I went to, so I would go up and stay on weekends and get to experience. That's one thing that I will totally recommend to people who, whether you're transferring, whether you're in high school, go and spend weekends up there if you can, like if it's local, you know, right. Or if you have friends that have gone there, or even try and, you know, if they have some sort of outreach program where, you know, come stay in a dorm, like not quite orientation, but kind of that kind of thing, yeah. that sort of thing. Because you get a totally different feel for the town, for the school, for the people when you're there for a weekend or there for a night than you do when you're on a tour. Because, you know, tours are meant to make the place look good. They're not going to be like, and here is the worst part about our whole university right here, you know. And so I think you also hear some truth from people when you're just up and staying with them. Like, they're not your tour guide. They're not trying to sell you. You just come up and stay, and especially if it's a friend, like, you know that they're going to tell you the truth. And, like, does this suck? What do you do on weekends? I think that's a big question that I didn't ask, is how many people leave on the weekends. Because my first school was totally a suitcase school. Like, people go home every weekend. I remember, because my dorm was right next to a parking lot, 3 o'clock every Friday, you would just see lines of cars leaving. And it was just empty. Like, all of the dorms. That's one thing I heard advice from. I had a lot of friends when I was in high school that were 2 years older than me. And they all said, here's my piece of college advice for you. Everybody said, leave your door open in your dorm. And I did that. And just, like,
crickets.
Crickets. And people would just walk by. Like, we would play music. And it just didn't work.
yeah. And I think too, like, when you're thinking about that, you know, you said go stay with a friend and go ask your friends.
Yeah.
And then too, sometimes your friends are like, this is the best place ever, but it's like still not a fit for you.
Yeah,
or it's like, they're like, I hate this, but it would be amazing for you.
Exactly.
So you really have to take especially people's perceptions of, like, with a grain of salt and, like, say, okay, what's your experience like? Oh, I love it. Why do you love it?
Yeah,
and then, like, so, like, just like you did, like, just digging a little bit deeper and have those conversations.
That was definitely a mistake of mine. Like, I didn't go stay. I knew plenty of people that went to my first school. I just didn't reach out to them and say, hey, can I come stay with you for a weekend? Because that's not something, like, high schools tell you, like, go stay up in your college town, go explore it, you know? Like, my family and I drove around after my tours in every town that we went to, but you don't know what you're going to be looking for, right? When you're in high school, you're not in that mindset of, like, what am I going to do for fun? Like, yeah, there's a bowling alley, but you can only go bowling, like, 5 times before it's, like, boring, and that's the only thing to do, you know?
Yeah.
And definitely, like, checking out the town around your university, because my first school, the town was not a college town at all. And, like, where we're at now is definitely more of a college town. It's part of that's just because it's bigger.
And size is an important factor,
definitely.
Even if you don't think it is, you know, or sometimes you're like, oh, I think I love a big school, but you don't. Or sometimes, and I almost, for some reason, I'm thinking about this, like, analogy, so it might be really bad. So I'm going to try it. But it's almost like looking at like boxes of cereal, right? There's, like, 100 different boxes of cereal in a grocery store. And, like, you can look at the box. You can, like, look at the nutrition facts, right? You can, like, the box is really pretty. You can Google reviews on your iPhone. I don't know. I'm just like, whatever. I don't know.
But then you still could not like it.
Right. Like, you love this box and I love the same box. We actually both eat it and experience it.
Yeah.
You love totally it. I hate it. Yeah, exactly. Or, like, we both love it for different reasons.
Yeah.
So it's just... Yeah, you really have to experience it, and sometimes you don't get to,
no,
right?
No, you don't.
If you get the chance, definitely experience
it.
But if you can't, it's like, do as much research and as much exploration as you can, and then commit to it for as long as you can, you know? And then if you gotta change, you gotta change.
And that's, I think, the biggest thing is that it is okay to change your mind. There is not anybody in high school that's like, oh, if you change your mind, you can always transfer. It's always, you're going to go here, you're going to study for 4 years, you're going to graduate, you're going to go do this. Like, what if I hate it? You know?
And like, that is such a representation of life.
Yeah.
Seriously, life is just like that.
Yeah.
So it's okay. Sometimes you get into a job and you do it for a year and you're like, wow, I thought I was going to love this, but I hate it. Or you love it even more than you ever thought possible. So... there's just, like, and I think taking it as, like, this is an experiment, this is going to be fun and an adventure, and Yeah, and I think one thing I also want to point out is that you really did not take this decision lightly. You really did try and you put forth effort, and then you changed your mind. You were like, this isn't a good fit, and you made the change. And I think that's so awesome, because I have seen the opposite, where students will stick with it for another 3 years, and they're miserable. So they're not engaging in their classes. Mm-hmm. They're not doing opportunities in their majors. Yeah. They're not meeting people as much as they should be. They're not loving their life
or which loving college. This is your time to just live your life to the fullest.
Yeah. So if you have the opportunity, do that, right? And not everybody has that opportunity, right? Like, I know one of the things we did was we actually looked at financial stuff right?
Absolutely.
And we were like, okay, what is it? How much more is this going to cost? Mm-hmm. Or how much more am I going to save? And we really looked at the pros and cons of that specific thing too. And I think that's really important. Not everybody has that opportunity, right? To say, oh, I can just switch a college. But sometimes it's better for you financially. Yeah. Sometimes it's worse for you financially, but it's better for your mental health. Yeah. And, or, you know, just like in general, it's better for you. And if you can do that, as long as you're making an informed decision, for me, that's my big thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to really think through your decisions when it comes to these things.
Yeah, my big thing, even, I think this was my parents' big tell of she wants to go to this school, is that living where I'm at now is super expensive, especially compared to the other school that I looked at. And my parents were like, you could get a really nice apartment in this place, or you could get a really run down bad apartment for more expensive in this place. And I was like, this is where I want to be. And they said the only way that we're going to be able to afford this is if you share a room. And so you just have to be willing to make stuff work. And basically I lived dorm style for another year. We made it work. It was great. Saved money. And it's not that bad. You know, as long as you have agreements with people, just do what you can to make it work, especially for yourself. If you're in a bad mental state, that's when my parents knew, is that I was like, I am willing to share a room to go to this school, and that's how bad I want to go here. I would rather scrap that nice living situation, nice apartment, super cheap. I want to be here.
I think, did you ever feel like, maybe not your parents now that you're saying that, but just other people, did you ever feel like you were letting them down by not staying at the college that you initially stayed at? Or were people pretty supportive?
I think for me, it was honestly more about myself. I felt like I was letting myself down because like I said, I was so confident in my first pick. And it was I was so excited. I remember driving to my orientation. I had to get up at 4 in the morning to make the drive to get there at 7 in the morning. And I was driving, it was all cornfields around me. I'm like, this is so beautiful. I'm so excited.
That's awesome.
And then, it just didn't end up working. And I think one of my issues that I really struggled with transferring is my boyfriend goes to the place where I'm at now.
Okay.
And we were dating when we first started college, and I didn't want people to think, oh, she's just transferring for her boyfriend. Because I never wanted to be that person. I've always been independent. I've always been I'm doing this for myself in anything that I'm doing. It is for me. It's not for my significant other. It's not, later in life, you have to make sacrifices for your significant other and whatever. But I never wanted to be oh, she's just transferring to be close to her boyfriend. And so that was, I think I considered the other school for a lot longer than I should have. Because I wanted people to not think that I was just transferring for my boyfriend. And I think I kind of had to let that go. And we actually broke up for a little while when I actually decided to come to this first, or to this school. So that kind of made my decision easier. And I think it helped my parents too. Because I was like, I still want to go here even though we are not together. So I think it kind of eased their minds a little too. Because that's definitely an expectation that, even with that, it's, oh, I'm looking at transferring to this school. Oh, doesn't your boyfriend go there? It's automatically that stereotype put on it. And so that was really stressful.
Yeah, and that's hard to not care about what other people think,
It is.
Yeah, and the sooner that you can get over that, if you're listening to this, do it. But it's never easy. But I think because I feel like I know you and mm-hmm. I've known you for a while yeah. now, like I trust you in yeah. this decision that was true, you know? But it can be hard when some people are just kind of like, well, that's not.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so you transferred. What was it like to transfer during your sophomore year? Because there's some talk that like, oh, if you transfer schools as a sophomore, you don't come in as a freshman. It's going to be harder to make friends and like get connected to campus. So what was that experience like for you?
Yeah, it was definitely really scary because I did have those kind of just preconceived notions of I'm not going to make friends. I'm not going to, you know, because you don't go through, you don't live in the dorms. You don't go through the same kind of welcome week stuff. A lot of transfer students are non-traditional, so they're living at home or they're older. So it's definitely a different crowd than that like freshman orientation, fresh out of high school. But I also knew that I didn't want to be a part of that because I'd gone through a year of college already. Like I'm in a completely different mental headspace than a lot of those freshmen. So it was really definitely scary. I did a lot of the welcome week stuff. I drove my boyfriend to it. I was like, don't make me go alone. We have this big concert thing. And I went to the concert and I think I had tried to, I was in a Facebook group for transfer students and I had tried to meet up with some people and it just hadn't worked. They were flaky or plans didn't work out or whatever. And I remember going to this concert outside. It was so nice. And I just sat on the grass and cried because I was like, I'm not going to make friends. Like I was terrified that I wasn't going to make friends. And I ended up getting really close with my roommates. You know, obviously you're sharing a room with somebody, you gotta get kind of close to them. But, and then having a declared major definitely helped because I was in classes with, and I think you realize this after a couple semesters, but you get common people in your classes. So I'm not trying to discourage people from doing undeclared, but it definitely helps to kind of have a community, you know? So definitely, and just having people to study with. And I think freshman year, for a lot of people, that's easier because you just have, like, a lot of freshmen are in freshman English, and you can all do your papers together and that kind of thing. So that definitely helped me make friends, was just kind of finding common people in my class. Oh, hey, you're in this class. We can work on homework together or that kind of thing. I also got a job on campus. I didn't actually start until September, I think. And so I went a little while without that, but it definitely helps to get that community of just, like, I work with 50 other students and you see them on campus and it's a friendly face. You get to wave, you know, stop and have a conversation. And even just that, like, makes it so much easier and just, it's like little things of hope, you know? So I definitely, like, my first probably month and a half was rough. And it wasn't ever like, oh, I want to transfer somewhere else again. But it's hard to make friends anywhere.
Yeah. And I appreciate you sharing the story of you like just sitting in the grass and like crying. Like that is so vulnerable and just so real.
Yeah.
We don't talk about that enough. Mm-mm. And it can happen, you know. And so I think it's what's really cool is though that you like are on the other side. Right. Yeah. You have friends now. So now you can kind of laugh about that.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, little did you know. But, like, at the time, it was so real, and it feels so real because it is.
Yeah.
And I think maybe one thing that you can take away from this, too, and hopefully anybody who's listening, is that it's hard to make friends.
It is, totally. And it's hard to put yourself out there. I auditioned for a cappella groups, and that's, like, terrifying because not only are you doing an audition, you're being in front of people that you don't know. This is, like, a possible social opportunity for the next 4 years.
And you're being judged by your voice, like,
exactly. And so it was really scary. I joined an intramural soccer team, which was nice because it was, like, kind of low commitment. So if I had to work, I didn't have to go to the game. But it's also, like, a really nice way to make friends. And there's, like, there's all sorts of different intramural teams. Like, I didn't realize how not serious a lot of the intramural sports are. Like, one of my friends was on a dodgeball team. It's a great way to just be social and make friends. They have Facebook pages. That's something I strongly suggest is, like, I'm in two different Facebook pages. I'm in a transfer one and then one for my, like, class, graduating class. See if you can find those because that's definitely a good way to find community. Like, I remember when we first started the school year, there was, like, a big transfer student hike. We were going to go hike a mountain together and just meet people.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and that's really cool, too, because you can kind of pick and choose what interests you. So if you're all transfer students, but then some people want to go hiking, some people want to go dancing or go out to a bar or, like, you know, so you can kind of pick and choose, like, oh, I want to go out with these people because I'm interested in this kind of thing. That's really cool.
Yeah.
And anytime that you can have either a common experience that you all have or common interest that you're just kind of interested in things, it can be much easier to have conversations to make friends that way too.
Yeah. It's hard to just like walk up to someone and be like, hi, I'm Darby. We have no common interests, but let's be friends.
Or you don't know yet, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that is like one skill that I wish I would have learned earlier is how to make friends.
Yeah.
Real talk, I don't feel like I had that skill. People probably would think that's not true looking at me. Even my friends in college would probably be like, that's not true. But it was very socially awkward for me most of the time. And it wasn't until after college when I had to introduce myself over and over and over to people because of the first job that I had that I realized that I had to be friendly. I was always friendly, but I had to be like the first person to say, hey, I'm Alicia. Where are you from? What do you do? Like, you know,
I think one thing that's really important to remember is like most people are in the exact same situation as you are. Like everybody is scared. Somebody's got to stand up and say hi or nobody's going to have friends.
Yeah.
Like, or you're all going to just become like this awkward puddle of people.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And we all need connection. And so like just trying that out. I actually listened to another podcast. It's called School of Greatness with Lewis Howes. But he actually said that when he was 16, he was super nervous and anxious to talk to women. And he's a man and he was attracted to women. Finally, when he was 16, he was just like, for the whole summer, anytime he felt like a little bit butterfly when he saw a girl, he would just be like, hi, I'm Lewis. And just like, he would force himself. Yeah. And it was super awkward for the first like 2 weeks. But after that, he said that he felt more confident in himself and like, and then he could talk to anybody. He could go up to a group of women and like have conversations. And so maybe do an experiment and then come on the podcast and share it. That would be great if anybody's listening or if you want to.
Yeah.
But it just really helps, especially honestly, when you graduate and if you move to another space that you don't know anybody or you only know one other person. I mean, it can be really challenging to find community, speaking from experience.
Yeah.
So do that as much as possible now while you're in college to really work those muscles and like really build those skills.
And part of it to remember that I always, my roommates are all really shy. And I always tell them, you know, like, go say hi to this person. What's going to happen? They don't want to talk to you? Great. You're never going to see them again. You don't have to care about the impressions that, the 5 second impression that you're leaving on this person. If they don't want to talk to you, you can just say bye and let it roll off, you know?
Yeah. And like laugh at yourself.
Yeah,
like.
Exactly. You have to be able to laugh at yourself because you're like, hey, I'm Darby. You know, I remember, this is super weird and completely unrelated, but when I was in high school, I did theater and we have to do this thing called slating, where during an audition, you walk up, you say, hi, my name is Darby. I'll be singing blank from blank. Mm. And I was auditioning for Into the Woods. And I don't even remember what song I was singing, but you're supposed to say, I'm Darby. I'm singing this song from this show. And I walked up and I was a little nervous and because it's a pretty small show and I was a sophomore and I was like, oh, I'm not going to get in. Like, there's so many more talented people, like whatever. And I walked up and I said, hi, my name's Darby. I'm going to be singing Into the Woods from Into the Woods. And everybody just laughed at me. And I was just like, oh God, I just immediately walked off and like laughed at myself and was like, okay, let's try this again. And then I came back on and said, I'm singing this song from Into the Woods. And so you just have to be able to let it roll off. And, you know, if somebody's like, why did you just come up and talk to me? Just like, be like, okay, sorry. I thought you were somebody else. And like, walk away. And you're just like, you know, it works. Whatever happens.
Yeah, that's awesome. So. And I think that's a great story to share because it is so like awkward sometimes to do those things and we forget things. That's okay. Or mess up. So I think to wrap up, what advice would you give to another student who's listening right now, who's thinking about transferring?
Let's see. Explore your options. I've already said, go stay where you want to transfer if you can. Reach out to people, join Facebook groups. Try to get yourself out there as much as you can before you decide to transfer. Look at housing, look at, you know, the likelihood of you getting in, go take a tour. And then also like exploring things outside of just academics. think about the town. Think about, okay, how many clubs do they have? Do they have Greek life? Like, one of my roommates that I'm moving in with in a couple weeks is actually transferring from Mississippi, and she's in a sorority, and her sorority is here as well, so she'll be able to transfer. And so I think that's something, you know, like if you're in Greek life or if you're in a club sport or that kind of thing, see if those things are
available
or, yeah, at the other place. Apply for work study, because you can get on-campus jobs, and you have so much more likelihood of getting an on-campus job with work study than you do without it.
And to do that, all you have to do is check a box on the FAFSA saying that you're interested. So do that.
Yeah. I didn't do that my freshman year because we just didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And definitely, like, reach out to people. That's the biggest thing, I think, is just reach out to people, whether it's administration or just students there. Like, one thing I decided I wanted to transfer, like, first semester. So when I was building my second semester schedule, I plugged everything into Transferology, which is a website that you can plug in, like, both schools and see the transfer credits. And so I made sure that every class that I was taking was going to transfer to a credit at the second school. That's a big thing. Talk to academic advisors to see, like, if I transfer, is it going to put me behind a year? Because I think that's definitely something to think about. Is it really worth a whole nother year or, but honestly, like, I think the biggest thing is just follow your heart. Like, my heart was not in my first school, and it's where I am now. Like, people always ask me, oh, are you happy now? And I'm like, well, do I call you every week crying? They're like, no. I'm like, yeah, then I'm happy. I'm good.
Yeah.
So really just, like, yeah, follow your heart. That's probably the biggest thing.
So good. And I want to add too, I think that you really tried to see if the school was right for you.
Yeah.
You know, you really gave it a chance. And I think, you know, give the school a chance, but know when it's time to go.
Yeah.
And that's totally okay. And I love that you said that earlier too. You were like, it's okay to leave. It's okay to change your mind So I love that. I also want to say too, like, other resources that you can use if you're thinking about transferring, you know, we worked together for the entire year, right?
Yeah, we did.
And so, and I hope, I don't know what it was like on your end, but, you know, for me, it was heartbreaking to see you go through that, you know? And I wanted the best for you, so I'm like, we got to figure it out. Like, I just wanted to make sure that you had good options moving forward, you know, if that was the right fit.
Yeah, find somebody to talk to that's I really liked talking to you because you were unbiased.
Yeah.
Like, my parents wanted me to go to this school because I had more friends there and it was more this and cheaper and whatever. And you were kind of just like, let's see how this works for you logistically. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you want? Here's the pros and cons. Like, just very unbiased. Like, you know, you never told me you should go here or you should transfer, or, you know, you left it up for me to decide.
Yeah. And I think that's so important. So if you do go to somebody and they're like, you need to stay here, or vice versa, or like, you need to leave, you know, should probably check that a little bit, but you don't have to listen to them. But if they're supportive and they're really helping you make that decision.
Yeah.
And there are people on campus who will do that. You just kind of have to find them. And sometimes that can be hard.
That was definitely a big thing with talking to you, is you said, I'm not going to sell you on this school. Like, I'm not here to keep you at this school. If you hate it, if you want to transfer, then I will help you figure out what you need to do, what we need to do to get you there. But I'm not going to tell you you have to stay here, or what can we do to make you stay here.
Right.
You know, that was definitely really something that I really appreciated.
Yeah. And even when you had decided, because you decided early spring, or, like, I remember you were kind of like, once you had gotten the financial stuff, you know, you were kind of like, okay, I can do this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure. It was kind of like, okay, how can we make you the happiest that you can be until
for
you
the
leave?
Last, yeah.
Exactly.
So, I committed, I think early March is when I committed to this school. So it was kind of, like I said, part of it was just a light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it was just, you know, and I had made some friends there. So it was kind of like, I'm going to enjoy my last, you know, 2 months with my friends. And for me, there was a lot of, not resentment, but I was kind of bitter when I left. I was like, goodbye, I'm never going to come back here. Like, but I do look back on it as definitely, like, a growth experience. And, you know, I'm never going to say, like, oh, that was the worst decision of my life, because it totally brought me here and I'm happy. And I wouldn't have gotten into this school in high school. So I had to bounce around a little bit, but I got here.
Yeah. And that's exactly what like success is. It's all over the place. It's not a path that you just take. I wanted to actually follow up on one more thing, I think, and then we can kind of wrap up. But you said at the beginning of the podcast that you didn't feel like you were smart enough really to go to college, right? And then you go to your first college, you know, and then you go to another college. So what was like that academic transition like for you going from like, oh, I, you know, I'm not good at this kind of to, to college?
So like I said, my senior year, I kicked myself into gear. I figured out, I think part of it for me, just my individual experience was I do better when I'm busy. So my senior year, I had one day of the week where I wasn't doing anything. And so I was working, let's see, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then I had theater rehearsal Monday, Wednesday. And then the other days I did homework or hung out with friends, that kind of thing. But Sunday was my main day off. And so that's when I got a lot of my homework done. And I think that year really prepared me for college because I had to work hard and I had to do time management. So that prepared me a lot for school. Little plug, I use a bullet journal. And that is something that totally works for me because I like to customize my planner. I like to do it the way that I want. Mm-hmm. And I can change it up every week. If this doesn't work for me, it doesn't work, I can change it. But that thing keeps me so in line, so organized. That's definitely something that I use. My first year of college, I did really well school-wise. And that I remember there was some days that I like got out of school at 12 and I had no plans until I went to bed at midnight. So I would just do homework for like 7 hours. So it was, I had time to get really great grades. I was transferring to a higher level institution. And so I knew it was going to be harder. And it definitely met those expectations. I actually had a friend from my first school that transferred here as well. And we kind of lost touch and then met up halfway through first semester. And we both were kind of like, why is this so much harder school-wise? Like the level of class difficulty. So that was definitely an adjustment. I definitely learned a lesson a little bit which was transferring. I knew that my first like couple weeks or month of school, I didn't want to work. So I worked enough during the summer to be okay for a month or two. And my first, you know, month, I was just like, I'm going to take it easy. I'm not going to get a job. I'm not going to like, and I also took a lighter class load because I knew, you know, I knew going into it that it was going to be heavier. So I think just having expectations for what you're going into, I guess.
Yeah, and I think what I'm hearing, what I kind of took away from that is basically even though you felt you talked about this earlier with expectations, about your expectations of yourself, mm-hmm. right? Not even just the academic rigor, but like you went from, oh, I'm probably not smart enough mm-hmm. to like, oh, wait, maybe I can do this. Yeah. And then now you're like, okay, I can do this. I can do hard classes, right? Like I can do this. It's just going to take maybe even more of an adjustment, you know? So like transitioning. Okay. And you're also learning these skills, right? For time management and you're figuring out what works for you. And so that means, you know, if you're listening to this and you don't have a strategy, you got to get one. Talk to me. We'll figure it out. Yeah. But thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. You're amazing. And just thank you so much for sharing your story and being vulnerable.
Thanks.
Thank you so freaking much for listening to the College Life Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with another college student. You can also leave a 5-star review. That would be awesome because apparently that helps more people find the podcast, though it's kind of ambiguous and I'm not sure how. But, you know, let's try it out and see if it works. Also, if you wanted to follow Darby on Instagram and connect with her, her Instagram is Darby Logan, DarbyLoganN, and I will actually link it in the show notes. I will catch you in the next one, and I hope that you have an amazing week.